So welcome to this obviously very eagerly awaited Friends of the Library event with Bob Byrne, Adelaide Remember When. I'm Paul Wilkins, the Deputy University Librarian, currently Acting University Librarian, because those of you, at least those of you who've received the Barsmith Library Annual Appeal brochure will know that Ray Choate has given a retirement date, which is 14th of August, and he's on extended leave until that date. But he did intend to be here tonight, and he regrets that he's indisposed and can't join us. So before we proceed, I'd just like to acknowledge the Kaurna people, the original custodians of the Adelaide Plains and the land on which the University of Adelaide's campuses at North Terrace, Waite, Theberton and Roseworthy are built. There's a little bit of housekeeping. Please turn off your mobile phones or silence them. And then when you've done that, I will hand over to our president, Jane Lomax-Smith, to introduce our speakers in the evening. So thank you, Jane.
Thank you so much. Well, this is a really exciting evening because we're going to invite you to really walk through your own memories, your youth, your childhood, and relive some of them guided by Bob Byrne, who's written a splendid book, Adelaide Remembers When, and in case I forget to tell you later, it's on sale outside. It's particularly good as a gift, and I'm sure there are birthdays and Christmas is coming up, so if you know anybody that's over 25, this would make an ideal gift for them. Not that you
25,
would.
25, maybe 45.
45, maybe. This sort of nostalgia is something that's really irresistible. For anybody over a certain age, we all pine to remember what it was like in the old days. Although sometimes when my children talk about the old days, I think they mean when there were dinosaurs. But we know it was more recent. And Bob is extraordinary because not only has he been a radio star for many years, and I've never understood why all those stations begin with a five. What does that, why is that?
It was the for the South Australian radio station.
Everything's a five.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
Well, it used to be. 5DN, 5KA, 5AD. And then, of course, in Melbourne, it's all threes, 3AW, 3DB.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty exciting. Yes, similar to postcodes.
Yes.
In fact, I think the postcodes stole the radio thing.
Well, yeah. I might tell you how to find a street number in Adelaide if you've got time. all the even numbers are on the north side and all the odd numbers are on the south side.
Oh, anyway, is that right?
And they all start at King William.
There you are.
And they all move towards the terraces. Anyway, the thing about Bob is he's also got a Facebook page as well. He has 30,000 likes.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
I doubt that anybody
has a Facebook with more than about 20 likes. Come on, fess up. Does anybody? No. And tonight also we're lucky to have Ewan Shaw going to interview Bob. And he's also a star of the radio. Stage, music hall, newspapers. He's a polymath who's been involved in many parts of Adelaide, but like many people on the radio, knows lots of things that none of us know, and there couldn't be a better person to interview Bob. So please, let the interview begin.
Let the games begin.
Bob, one of the great things about radio, apart from the fact that you're sitting down, is that we become part of the lives of thousands and thousands of people. We may never meet them, but we're part of their lives, they're part of our lives, but if we're going to be talking to them every morning, we have to have things to talk about that they can relate to. And my early experience of radio, and I suspect yours, was very much a way of just reinforcing our lives in Adelaide and picking up on the little things that make the city special. So you've got a story to tell, a listener will go, I know that building, or I met that person. What was your Adelaide childhood like?
I didn't have a childhood in Adelaide.
Ah, regrettable, but go. I'm glad you made up for it in good time. Go.
Now, I was actually reared in Whyalla, but we had family here in Adelaide, and we had an auntie, we had Mrs. I'm just trying to think of a name, who lived in Flinders Street. And we used to come down and stay there from time to time. And we stayed out at Wayville with my auntie, and so we would travel quite regularly into the city. So I knew Adelaide really well. And I guess, you know, that a lot of the things in this book also are memories about not necessarily Adelaide, but about things that affected each and every one of us, because they were things in our childhood. Like, for example, you know, I've got a slide up here about children drinking milk. And you know, I hear some laughs there in the audience, but you know, back in the 1950s that started, and we all went through it. And you know, some people even today, when they see a glass of milk or a bottle of milk, they immediately think about that, and almost every time. And nostalgia is a kind of a really wonderful thing, because it can move you on so many different levels. I worked at 5KA in 1968, and I currently work at the Advertiser building, and I walked into Franklin Street, and the building that I worked in at 5KA is still there. And I walked past the door, and it was almost like, as if I walked in there, it could still be all there. That all the years would have gone. And nostalgia, I think, and this is what I try to write when I write about how I feel about some of the things here in the book. You know, I try to engender, or try to think back to those feelings that people have when, you know, when they have a memory. So, you know, that's how I approach the whole thing.
Because in a way, you just respond a little more strongly to your childhood, your experiences in the big smoke of Adelaide from Whyalla.
Than
a lot of people might, until they pick up the book, and then there's a picture, or, you know, drinking milk at school, going as I did to Bowman's Arcade. I mean, I arrived at the end of 70.
Yeah.
But so much of what has gone that you recollect here in this book was still there in the early 70s.
Yes.
But the acceleration of change in the city is such that a lot of it is now gone. A memory.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. I mean, maybe because I lived in Whyalla and desperately wanted to live in Adelaide. Please, Mum, let's go and live in Adelaide. Maybe that's why the city meant even more to me than somebody who actually lived here. I don't know.
And childhood then was, well, we look back at it as being a much simpler way of life. And there's a photo of here, kids playing cricket in the streets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That they would go out and play without parental supervision.
Oh, that's right.
The streetlights come on and you go home because mum will feed you.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they're even, you know, tagging your mobile phone so they know where you've gone. that's the parents and the children. Eventually, it's the children, because the parents get very old and wandery. But your childhood, I think, is very much an experience shared by many people of our generation.
Oh, yeah, I think all our childhoods were, you know, pretty similar. I mean, you know, some people live near the Torrens and used to swim in the Torrens. Some people live by the beach and used to go to the beach. Some people lived in the hills and went to the city baths. You know, so you know, our lives were all different, but yet we all remember a similar experience of our childhood, I think. You know, various things like getting the cuts at school, that sort of thing.
Yes, it wasn't all wonderful.
No.
But it was also slower. The pace of life, my memory, is much slower. You take a day to get from Wayville to the city and back.
Yeah.
Now, Wayville, hop on the tram, car, whatever.
No, it's fascinating, and I have put together a few slides there, Ewart, that maybe people would like to see. I heard somebody mention, or I heard somebody. Did you flick on the Samoan?
Yeah.
One. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, flick on Samoan, because, you know, Samoan, of course, how many people remember Samoan at the zoo? Yeah, see, look at that. I mean, going for a ride, going to the zoo, And we would come to Adelaide and we would go to the zoo. We'd catch Popeye and go down to the zoo and we would always go for a ride on the elephant. And I didn't even know the elephant's name. We'd go to see George the gorilla. Well, we called him George, but he was actually an orangutan. We used to call him a gorilla. Don't know why. And the monkeys. So, you know, lots of us shared lots of experiences. And I think there were a lot of things that we, you know, when I put this together, I was just thinking about all the kind of things that we did share as we grew up.
It's interesting that nowadays you sit on the bus and all these young people, they've got their electronic devices. Mm. Three-year-olds get iPads as Christmas presents, and they've lost the acoustic sense of play. They're going out into the garden, they're playing down the street.
I often wonder, you know, because I talk about the imagination that we used to have. Like, for example, in a lot of cases, many of us didn't get a lot of toys as we grew up. I only ever got toys at Christmas and birthday. That was it. We never had a Toys R Us or, you know, any of those sorts of things. And so we'd make up games like the girls would play with knucklebones. And they would come from the Sunday roast. You'd save five knucklebones and you've got a game. And I often think, though, that, you know, if you took away a lot of the digital stuff that kids have today, they'd probably come up with similar games. You know, I'm sure that they would have just as big as imagination. And I'm actually, at the moment, I'm on my next project, which is slightly larger than Adelaide. It's Australia, remember when. And I put up a post on Australia, remember when, the other day of, now, does anybody know what a tomboy is? Yeah. The cotton reel with the, pull through. Some people call them a French knitting or royal.
Yeah, French knitting. Yeah.
So that must be an English thing. Mm. But when I was putting that up and I was writing about it, I thought, you know, probably today kids would probably do this if they didn't have iPads and iPhones and all that sort of thing. Amazingly enough, a lot of people posted that their kids do it. Yeah, they still do, although they don't make them the same as we did back then. We used to make them with tacks and cotton reels. Yeah, well, you can't get wooden cotton reels anymore, no. Yeah, toilet rolls. Yeah, with paddle pop sticks. Yeah,
which would give you a much broader, much bigger. And so they wear them as little bands around the wrists and that sort of
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, if you were really hard, tablecloth. or something like that.
Now here's one. Just flick over to the next one.
Oh yes. Oh,
Rolly Park, the pug hole. Now, Rolly Park, everybody, I can see a lot of people remember Rolly Park. You probably don't.
It was just fading out. Then there was a long gap, and then suddenly we've got a Grand Prix, and we've it all just got so professional. That looked like fun.
And dangerous, too.
Yes, of course.
I think, how many people would have been killed there when you stop and think about it? I think there were around about 10 or 12 people actually killed at Rolly Park. Didn't stop it. Next Friday night, everybody was out there again, and away they'd go again, you know. There was very little protection for the drivers. I mean, the motorcycle riders, they were daredevils. Yeah. And in fact, Helen's cousin was one of the champion riders. Just amazing that we got away with that kind of stuff back then.
Well, and of course nowadays you can't. There are seatbelts.
Well, that's right. Can you imagine what Occupation Health and Safety would do with Rolly Park? God.
There does seem to be that sense that as the decades progressed in the last century in Adelaide, things got more and more sort of organised and taken out of the hands of the general public and given to government departments given to big businesses. Some of our beautiful buildings just disappeared overnight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think we've all got at least one story of something that we loved or a place we went. And
that's now disappeared.
It's gone, or it's been replaced by a large glass box with
or
with
a offices. Car park.
Or and that's it, a car park with a fast food outlet, which
right.
For me it's always been an that's the icon of the collapse of our authentic society. It's just now cars and fast food, whereas before it was Adelaide and a lovely old building and people coming into town on the tram.
Well, now next slide, if you just flick another slide.
Oh yes. Ah. Some things have not changed, they just get better.
Now, that's with Ernie Sigley, of course. And Ernie was, who remembers Adelaide Tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was when television first started, of course. Remember when we used to go and look at TV through the shop window? And people actually take their chairs and blankets and all sorts of things and sit out in front of Ern Smith's watching television because they couldn't afford a TV, of course. And then a little bit later, when one family in the street got a TV, everybody was invited in, you know.
Oh, instant friends.
And who remembers
kids.
Follow the Bouncing Ball with Mitch Miller and the gang, you know. God. That was funny stuff. But yeah, Anne is, she's still going strong. And it was great to see her just recently on the Good Friday appeal. Well, it was on Easter Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the Easter appeal, I think they call it.
I think
they
now call it the Easter appeal. Mm. But she encapsulates that, the innocence in a way, the energy. I mean,
she was a dag.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the longest skirt I've ever
seen.
Oh, no.
Well, of course.
And
well,
the earrings are really
discreet. I could have put up the one where she actually wore the bikini.
Oh, right.
To read the weather one night, to do the weather. But I thought, you know, that'd probably be a little bit cheeky. But anyway.
Oh, there's nothing. Well, and that's it. We've lost the little cheeky bit.
Oh, well, No.
Buy a copy of the book. Go to the website.
Go to the website.
It is that I still... As I said, I arrived at the start of the 70s, mm-hmm. which was a great... You go to university in the first years of the 1970s, and the temptations to study, or rather, the temptations to not study were very, very strong. But it was a time of political vibrance in the arts and mm-hmm. very much in the politics of South Australia. It was all changing then. What are your memories of that, of the Dunstan years?
The Dunstan years, well, believe it or not, we weren't here for a lot of the Dunstan years.
Useful. good timing, bad timing?
Yeah. Now, we headed off in 1972. My radio career took me to Gosford, just out of Sydney, and we were there until the 1980s. But once again, we came back to Adelaide every year, so I saw the changes that were going on here, and we still had a lot of good friends here, of course. Yeah. So I was still very much in touch with Adelaide, but I actually interviewed Don Dunstan in Gosford on 2GO, so a long way from home. But I knew that he was a great leader, and he did a fantastic lot for South Australia. Without a doubt, our most colourful politician ever.
Oh, yes.
In many different ways. Just recently, because I also write a column for the Advertiser on a Monday in Boomer magazine, just recently I wrote about the time that I've written a couple about Don. One was the end of the 6 o'clock swill.
The Charlie Gardens, the very famous photo.
The Charlie Gardens Hotel, and also when he. Went down to Glenelg and did the King's Boot and stopped the waves, which never turned up, of course, but I think that was just everybody had a holiday that day. It was just one of those fun days.
But you were saying you came back every year.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. rather yeah, like so your childhood, you know, visits, you turn up but something's gone or there's a new thing to look
yeah.
at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the ones that stand out from that period?
Visits?
Yeah, on those visits.
The disappearance of the old Grand Central Hotel, of course. And I've got that as a slide a little bit later on. I don't know. The Festival Theatre. Yeah. We came back around about. Well, we didn't come back until 1983. So the Festival Theatre was well and truly.
Yeah.
Done by then, but the City Baths disappeared. They went. We've got a photo of the City Baths. Let's go to the next one, because I reckon there'll be a few people who'll remember this. Who remembers the Cactus Garden on the way from Port Wakefield? Because what we would do, when we'd drive down from Whyalla, we'd often stop there. it was a great. What are you laughing at?
No, that's not me.
That photo was sent in by somebody, but it was actually, I never knew it was called the Arizona Cactus Garden. But apparently it's still there. But of course, because the Port Wakefield Road moved, it's very few people come past it anymore, and it's fallen into a bad state of disrepair. But the guy who actually built it, he did it all for nothing. I mean, he just built it, and people would stop there, and it was an amazing piece of garden. probably pretty weird now and pretty crazy, but we always thought it was great fun. There were statues in there as well. Can you remember the statues? I think there was one of a ballerina, and he had wagon wheels and other things all around the place. quite unique.
Yeah,
very Adelaide.
And very water wise as well.
Oh yeah. Wouldn't have been any water there. Here's the next one. What's the next one?
Street cricket.
Street cricket.
Yeah.
Gosh. And you know, I mean, how typical Australian is that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's Adelaide, one of the back lanes of the Adelaide city. But you know, that could be anywhere in Australia, really, on a hot summer's day, and all the kids all out playing street cricket. And I often, you know, talk to people and I say to them, well, what do you remember most about your childhood? And a lot of people say the cricket, playing street cricket or football in the street, how you could play cricket almost unimpeded in the street. Every now and again a car would come past and you'd have to move everything. So you'd move, the car would go past, and then you'd go back on the road again. I mean, fancy playing on the road.
And that's it. We have more and more cars. They're travelling faster and faster. The other thing we've got is air conditioning.
You know, why
go out and play when you can stay home in the nice, cool, read a book,
watch
television?
Right.
The technologies have changed all our social patterns.
In fact, one of our very popular photos that got a lot of a reaction was kids running under the sprinkler. And then, you know, you start thinking about how on a really hot night, mum and dad would take, originally, they'd take the radio outside and you'd sit down and listen to When a Girl Marries or Cop the Lot with Bob Dyer and then later, of course, it was drag out the black and white television set. Kids would run under the sprinkler, because that was on the lawn, you know, and then you'd sleep outside.
Yep.
Sometimes you'd go to the beach, and people would sleep at the beach, and they'd be, you know, quite safe to sleep there. I wouldn't advise it now, but in those days you could. And if you know, as the night wore on, mum would find a shilling or a couple of shillings in her purse. We'd be able to go around to the corner shop and buy a bottle of Woody's Lemonade. And what does that mean to a kid today? Like, like lemonade is in the fridge all the time.
No.
But,
no.
Isn't it?
No.
Don't you think?
No, our grandchildren drink water.
Oh, our grandchildren, but, you know, but well, that's because they come from good stock.
No, you'd be surprised.
But no, you know, you see these days people buy, and they're encouraged to buy, with advertising, they're encouraged to buy, a slab of Coke, and they take it home for the kids. You know, and but for us, to have a bottle of lemonade was a real treat. Because we all came from families where dad worked and mum stayed at home and looked after the kids. And indeed, mothers weren't welcome in the workforce, you know. And I often think about my mum, and I think, you know, she was a really creative person. What a hell of a life it must have been for her to have to look after kids. That was the rest of her life, you know.
I know, but she passed some of that on to you. The creativity, you know, the curiosity.
Perhaps.
You know, taking down to Adelaide from Whyalla to give you a sense of the big world.
Yeah. I really wanted to live in Paris.
Well,
But Adelaide was kind of a good second prize.
Yeah, well, we are still the fifth best city in the world to live in, and Paris is way, way down,
Oh, that really?
List. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind it for a while.
A year or two.
The next one, yeah.
A year or two.
Now. Who remembers the Red Hens?
Oh, yes.
Ripping through the suburbs, no air conditioning, speaking of no air conditioning, vinyl seats.
Oh, yeah.
And holding the door open with your foot to let the air
I know. I was travelling down from Elizabeth with my mother one day, and the train broke down on a very, very hot day. Doors open. We were right beside the abattoir at Jepps Cross. We were stuck there for a very... long time.
Yeah.
You know, the trains are a little, I was going to say they're a little more timely now. That isn't actually true. They're slightly more comfortable and they're air-conditioned.
But here's the thing about, you know, nostalgia. When you think about the Red Hen, what do you think about the grey interior and what they smelt like? Mm-hmm. You can smell them.
Yeah.
You can smell the diesel, can't you?
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. I think that's what I'm, you know, when I say that it catches you on so many levels, how you can go through a whole range of emotions when you see a photo like that and you really think about it, it's almost like being back in one of those trains.
And I think that's one of the great things I found with the book is the way the photographs can do that for the bits of Adelaide that I knew well in the 70s.
Yes.
When you were saying earlier, you walked past the old 5KA building.
Yes.
And you know, if you walked in,
you'd be
back there.
Yeah.
And it's not quite like that, but you, the great thing about growing older is that your brain gets to do that for you.
There is a good thing about growing old, yes. Well,
I know. it is. You have so much more to enjoy.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
You do. Yeah. Aren't we lucky that we can do that?
So, when it came to put this book together, which involves, in fact, an immense amount of selection.
Mm.
I mean, we've got all these pictures we can look at, but they're a tiny portion of what's available. What were the motive forces? What were the things that made you go, that one, not that one?
That's a good question. I think probably emotion, as you say. Just looking at a photo. Now, I'm lucky because I do have the archives of the Advertiser, which touch wood, Mr. Murdoch hasn't said I've got to pay for any of the ones that I use on Facebook. I did have to pay for them in here, but they've kind of given me the opportunity to put them up on the internet and not really make a charge. Is anybody from the Advertiser here? No, good. And so I can look at a whole range of photos, thousands of them, as a matter of fact. And just, you know, I'm just drawn to some things by my own experience. And I think that's basically, you know, what drives me to use one photo instead of another.
In that sense, as I mentioned earlier, we're part of people's lives in radio, especially the older generation, because they grew up with radio, and we're still part of it. So we have to work on their behalf and look for things that we share.
Radio did actually play a part in the idea of the book, because when I was doing the breakfast show on 5DN in 1988, I was working with Murray Oles. And does anybody remember Murray? Yeah. And Murray and I came up with the idea of, because we were broadcasting to an older audience at 5DN, we decided to come up with the idea of Remember When. And in fact, that's what we called it, Adelaide Remember When. Well, I think we called it Remember When. And the first thing we did was the Beatles in 1964. And I asked people, because it was I think the Beatles' visit here in 1964, which once again I missed, because by then I was actually working at 5AU in Port Augusta.
Right.
But it was such a pivotal thing for Adelaide, because 300,000 people turned out, you weren't here then, but 300,000 people turned out to welcome the Beatles to Adelaide. It was the biggest reception the Beatles had seen anywhere in the world, and indeed would ever see again. And they were absolutely knocked out. And we turned on a bigger welcome than Melbourne or Sydney or anywhere else. And so I asked people to ring up and give us their memories. And people would ring up and they would talk about lining up at John Martin's to buy tickets. Ah, yeah. Yeah, the only toilets were actually at the railway station, and kids were dashing down to the railway station to the loos down there and back again, and somebody would look after their place in the line and that sort of thing, and we had all these wonderful stories come out of the out of that whole thing. So, and then we did another one, and then we started to do school reunions. But That's how the whole thing started. I on my Facebook page, I was listening to the ABC, and Ron Tremaine was being interviewed about his involvement with bringing the Beatles to Adelaide, and he was saying that, you know, Bob Francis had taken all the credit for getting the 80,000 signatures. He didn't really get them all, you know. And as it turned out, Ron Sullivan, who used to work at 5AD, had gone around to work at John Martin's. And he was actually approached by Ron to guarantee the Beatles financially in Adelaide. That is that the Haywood family would actually pick up the tab if, in fact, it was a flop. Huh. What a joke. I'm sure Mr. Haywood would have gone, oh, I don't have to worry about that. So Ron talked about it, and I thought, gee, that's fascinating. I knew about that. And so I wrote a post about it on my own Facebook page, and quite a few people picked it up and posted it on. A few other people posted it on. I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, maybe people still really are interested in this Remember When thing that we used to do on the breakfast show. So maybe I'll do another one. And I did the earthquake in 1954. Not a lot of people remember the earthquake. We're either asleep or too small. Thank God. So there was the earthquake, and then I followed that with the pie cart, the one in Franklin Street outside the GPO, and all of a sudden everybody started to talk about this, and I thought, I think I'll start my its own Facebook page. I'll do a Facebook page called Adelaide Remember When. Before you know it, I had Sonia Feldhoff rang me up and wanted to know a little bit about it. We had 1,000, then 2,000, then 5,000, then 10,000, then a book, you know, and then because
the people in Sydney actually saw the Facebook page, the New South Publishing, and the woman who runs it rang me up and said, would like you to write a book. I said, oh, okay. Is there money? And she said, yeah. And I said, I'm in.
Interestingly, as you point out, and if you look at the back, the bottom under the photo, published by a New South Wales company.
Yeah. New South Publishing, yeah.
Yes, yeah. As if we don't have at least one publishing company of our own here in Adelaide.
Well, you got to go where the money is.
I guess, yes, you've got to go where the money is.
And they were absolutely delighted the way that it turned out. But having said that, I mean, they rang me and asked me if I'd do it, and I said, yeah. In the meantime, it continued to grow, and well, now we've got over 30,000 followers on the page.
One of the things that has changed a lot in your time in the business is radio, in terms of the proliferation of stations, the style of presentation,
yeah,
the
I'm
sort
not
of
there anymore.
But it's interesting because you're part of that generation. I mean, of whom I suppose Bob Francis is the most egregious
Jeremy's
example.
Jeremy's still going.
Well, Jeremy's come back.
Jeremy's
come back. You can't keep a good man down.
No, that's right.
But your reflections on the change in the industry, the change in its focus, the style of presentation. What do you think of the radio now when you switch it on, if you do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, radio's changed a lot, as you say. I guess it's a young person's business now, you know. Yeah. And look, you know, I guess my thing would be if I was in radio, I'd still be in talk radio. Mm-hmm. And there's only one radio station left that does talk, and so that's 5AA. So. And it seems as though, you know, I mean, and Jeremy, last time I spoke to Jeremy, he's pretty rapt about being back on the air. He really loves it. And of course, Leon is still on the air too,
yes.
Leon Viner. And Leon and I worked at 5KA together in 1968. God, he must be older than me. Well, as old.
Well, the great thing about radio is nobody can tell.
Well, that is
a good thing. There is that.
And I think he's sounding fantastic. He's really doing well. But anyway.
So what have we got next?
Well, looking here, there's...
Let's go.
This is Billy Cubs.
Yeah, Billy Cubs.
Like cricket in the street. It's the simplest of things. Yeah.
Terry Gifford of Hove.
Who's 61 years old this year.
Mind you, I mean, I think Terry's... Billy Cart's a lot better than mine used to be. We used to go to the dump. You go to the dump in those days, the dumps were always open. Yes. Ride your bike down to the dump, there's lots of asbestos there. And
yeah, I know.
All sort of stuff, yeah. Rats, yeah. And we'd look around, find a pair of wheels that had an axle. Oh, magic.
Yeah.
And you bring it home, and you'd end up with four wheels. Get a paling, steal a paling off somebody's fence, and then you'd bolt the cross thing with the two wheels on the front, an apple cart on the back at the end of the other end of the paling, and then you'd have two wheels on the back, rope. That's all you needed.
Yeah.
Find the steepest hill in town. No crash helmet.
No.
No elbow guards. No knee guards. Down there 100 mile an hour. No brakes. Oh, man. How we survived, God only knows. But
well, I'm sure one or two of them didn't, but it's remarkably how resilient young people are.
I never knew anybody who ever got killed doing that. I don't know why. Because, you know, I mean... You couldn't stop if there was a car coming.
No,
down the
but
ride.
There weren't all that many cars.
Jeez, it was pretty dangerous. But yeah, so the old Billy cars. But that was a good one. Yeah.
And it's a great photo taken by Pat Crowe.
Yeah, I've got another great Pat Crowe photo coming up shortly. But let's go to the next one, which is I can't read my own writing.
Oh.
Now remember when it was politically correct to have bathing beauties at the beach. Do you know, I think this particular one
in about 1958, I think it might have been. 25,000 people, which is half of the number of people that go to the Crows games these days, or the Port Adelaide games, turned up to see the bathing beauties at Glenelg. That's amazing.
And now we've got television.
Yeah.
And the internet.
Yeah. Well, it'd be very politically incorrect.
Oh, anyway. Well, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the girls all... Jane Riley won hers in 19... Would anybody have any idea what year that would have been? 68? 70-odd? And I've heard her talk about it since, and she was saying that she won a trip to the Philippines, because she won the national title, and she went to the Philippines, she met President Marcos. Oh, God. Not that you'd be proud about that anymore, but she met Imelda Marcos. Oh, God, again. But she got a car. So at the end of it, you know, there were quite some big prizes for the girls. So they were quite happy to flash the bods around.
They're nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. Yes. They
weren't bikinis, were they?
Yeah.
Very star. And the stars are coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's one that, this is a little bit later. You might remember this.
Oh,
one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, next one.
Yes,
Dazzleland. Yeah. So that was in the Meyer Centre when they built the Meyer Centre. Jane might remember the Meyer Centre.
Well, I remember Dazzleland. I remember we took kids there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then decided it looked a bit, from an adult point of view, just a little perilous.
Yeah, a lot of people said that, but I don't think anybody was ever hurt there, were they? I mean, I know that there were a couple of unfortunate accidents.
Yeah, it was exciting. Small kids loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right up on the top floor. I don't think that they've still got anything on the top floor at Myers. No.
No.
They've never been able to get anybody up there.
The customers don't even.
No, that's right.
Well, yes. Yes, when the Myers Centre opened, they were so desperate for tenants, they were giving small businesses free use of the little shops.
Yeah.
Just to make it look as if there were businesses
busy.
There.
Yeah. So it was great fun. And I remember, and I put up the Dazzleland one because... I think it was one of the most popular posts that I've ever had on the Facebook page. People love it. But, you know, it's because a large number of the people on the Facebook page are actually 40 to 54. And I guess that's, you know, indicative of the people who frequent Facebook. But a lot of older people, of course, wouldn't have a bar of Facebook. They're not too keen on Facebook, I don't think. Because of privacy issues and things like that, and they tend to think it's a young person's thing too. Is anybody here on Facebook? Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah.
And I'm told young people are deserting Facebook because their parents are on it.
Well, that'd probably be right too. Damn. But anyway.
Do not befriend your mother or father on Facebook.
Yeah. Now put up the next one because this is an interesting shot and a beautiful photo.
Oh yeah, this is yes. Look at that.
Now, Parafield was our main airport until what? 1958, I think it was.
Yeah. And that's probably King's Road, I think.
Yeah, that is King's Road. Yeah. And that's Salisbury behind there. And there was not a house in sight.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that was before Elizabeth, wasn't it? 1968? Yeah, 1958? Yeah. So Elizabeth wouldn't have even been there then. And that's Pat Crowe, who was the photographer who took that photo, and it's in the Advertiser archives, but Pat owns it, and he's very, very careful about who gets it. So I rang him up and I said, Pat, there is a photo that I'd like, and what one? And I said, your parafuel one. Now, the other interesting thing is this plane was the plane that actually crashed in Queensland a few years later, killing 29 people on board. I think it's Australia's worst air disaster. It was still flying for TAA, and I've got a little bit about it in the book, actually. And I didn't realise it at the time, but somebody pointed it out to me that it was actually the same plane that crashed in Queensland a number of years later.
And if you stand at this point on King's Road now, I'd suggest standing on that side. You've got the fast food restaurants over there. You've got lots of shops. The airfield is still there, of course.
Yeah.
But those hills are covered
with
in houses.
Houses, yeah.
Pretty much all the way up to Gawler now.
Yeah.
You know, because I can tell you, just up there behind that tree, that's where my sister lives.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I actually know this bit of road very well.
Wow.
When you're heading over for dinner.
Yeah.
But it's this is what it was, and to supreme, if you're ever out there, and you happen to be at Parafield, just park here and then try and imagine this photograph, looking at what it is now. Well, the population has quadrupled.
Oh yes, yeah.
And
well, gee, what population would we have had back in about 1958, 1956?
Oh, I think that was about 150,000 to 200,000. We're just over a million now.
Yeah.
It's been...
Might have been a few... I don't know.
Probably more than Iceland, but...
But does anybody remember when it looked like that? Yeah?
I've got a memory that around about 69, a light aircraft actually crashed up on top of that hill. And I remember my mate and I went up there and had a look at this parrot. Nobody got killed or anything. It was just a light plane. On that hill.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was probably a similar era to that.
Yeah, and that was Adelaide's only airfield at the time.
Yeah, it was before they opened up the West Beach, which I think was West Torrens then, wasn't it? Did they call it West Torrens?
Yes, that's what you say in the book.
Yeah.
Hmm?
That's what you say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
And look at the vast amount of automobile traffic. One car? Is that another two cars? Possibly, and a van.
Two cars and a van. Passing the airport. Let's go to the next one.
Oh.
Okay, so this is Adelaide about
1950.
Yeah. About 1950, I think. Yeah. I love the look. This is the original 5AD building.
Yep.
Which then, of course, was the advertised building, 10 stories high, which is now the ANZ Bank. And this is the the old advertiser, and in behind there is where a lot of the printing was done too, I think, you know. So Advertiser Lane would have been down in behind there, where everybody used to go and get their university results, you know.
So this photograph is taken from quite an altitude. What do you know about the actual taking of the shot?
Would it be from the TNG building?
National Mutual.
TNG building, I think.
TNG, yeah.
I reckon it'd be the TNG building.
Yeah, and the tram went straight through.
Yeah, well, so did the traffic.
Mm.
King William, the Victoria Square was straight through. Yeah. Town Hall still looks the same. Oh, yeah. One of the ugliest buildings in Adelaide, and still is.
I know. And in fact, what you see in this shot
is
what the MLC building is. This one, this you're talking about, this one here.
Yes.
Is that's built off Victoria Square, isn't it?
Yes. But there's something special about the architectural value.
Oh, lovely.
Is that when you were Lord
Mayor?
Because
I think it was the first prefab kind of thing that they could build like almost like a meccano set.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. But you look at the buildings that have been replaced down here, the wonderful frontages on that side of King William Street.
Yeah.
I think that pub is, that's just gone.
It's gone.
The cars.
So what's this building here?
That's the Electra building. Which is now being restored to a record.
I was just saying to my wife tonight, Helen tonight, you know, we've got to go to the Electra building because they've turned it into a restaurant, which is fantastic. And there's the old pub.
Yeah,
that's gone. Yeah. Well,
Moores is still there.
Moores is still there. Yeah. Yeah. There's the old labs.
Yeah.
The penny where you spend a penny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Moores. You can't see it, but there's...
Yeah.
What year was the Moores fire?
1948.
Yeah. Mm. And the tram. Just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's when we had trams going, you know...
All over Adelaide.
Yes,
yeah.
all over Adelaide.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you. I've wanted one of these for a very long time.
Just the one you wanted, too.
Just
flick up the next one. Hey? Oh, why? What's the time?
That's okay.
That's
right. Yeah, we're fine.
Now, this is the building, of course, that was one of the great travesties of our time. The Grand Central Hotel, what a magnificent building that was. Built in the 1920s, I think. Might have been just 1918. And they wanted it as a wonderful hotel. It was going to be the wonderful hotel, but strangely enough, it never worked very well as a hotel. And so it was taken over by Foy and Gibson's. And they ran it as a department store until they moved in the 1950s, I think, late 1950s. Just flick it over to the next one. And so it was taken over then by the government, and the Electricity Trust of South Australia had it, you know. Now, even then, it was still magnificent, you know.
That was a building somebody was referred to as more front than Foy and Gibson.
That's right, yes. yeah, absolutely. More front than Foy and Gibson's, yeah. And obviously you can see why. Because that had an enormous, and that, of course, is the Rundle Street. Five, and then around the other end, it was just as big, you know. So, just an amazing building. But apparently, when the government took it over, they allowed it to run down rather badly. And after a while, just flick it over to the next one.
Yes.
Oh dear, 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 dear.
I know.
Oh dear, dear, dear. So.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a
little plaque on the pavement.
Oh, yeah.
Just where those people are standing to commemorate that.
So anyway, move that along.
I know.
Let's get rid of that one. Now there's the City Baths. So who remembers the City Baths? Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do. It was pretty dangerous there sometimes, actually. Some of those kids had come off that top diving board.
Yep.
Straight down.
Yeah.
Where were they?
Where the Festival Plaza is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once the, we started to get suburban houses would have their own pools, And then I think the Aquatic Centre opened up in North Adelaide, and there was just no real, no real call. And the baths were starting to look a little bit they could have been. But, I mean, back in those days, look at the crowd, you know. But kids used to go there. Schools used to take their kids there. Had their swimming competitions there and that sort of thing. So it was quite a fantastic thing. And on the railway station side, I think there was the there was a glass wall.
Yeah.
Underneath. Yeah, that's right.
So just move the next one. We better move along.
Yes.
My Ponga.
Oh, right.
Oh, nobody went to my Ponga. My Ponga Pop Festival? No? No, no. Okay. Oh, yeah. So, somebody did?
I think I probably know some of the people. Because I was
that was in 1971, and it was something that 5AD, I was working at 5AD at the time, and we had Daddy Cool, and, you know, there were lots of Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs, and a few of those people came along. So that was our own Woodstock.
Yeah.
And there were quite a lot of people here. Next one. Ah.
Jackson's.
Yes, the old bread delivery. Yeah. Yeah, that's the golden crust bread. And the old horse and cart, the old horse would wander along the street.
Yeah.
Can you, when you think about this, can you smell the bread?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, the warm bread. And yes, yeah, break it in half, that's yeah. right. Yeah. And yeah, that's right, yeah, because it was... it was so beautiful and soft inside, so fresh. How do they keep them so fresh? I can remember Al Baker always used to have a big covering over his bag. I noticed this chap didn't, but the old horse would plod along and the baker would run in and deliver the bread and we must have paid once a week or something because...
You put the money in the bread tin.
Oh, I put the money in the bread tin. So he'd pick it up. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this was 1955 Remembrance Day. Look at the way the people are all standing there.
And the cars have stopped.
People got out of cars. In the middle of an... this was, of course, after the war. And the war would still have been fresh. I think it was about 1955.
Yeah.
And the war would still have been fresh in most people's memories, you know. And apparently what would happen is the 11th hour on the 11th day, people would just get out of their car and stand. Yeah. And... what a beautiful photo, I thought. That was just absolutely fantastic.
And it's a trolley.
Yeah, the old trolley bus. Yeah, the old trolley bus was there. Who can remember the trolley buses used to keep losing their... yeah, their poles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I often wonder, you know, how kids today would go on a trolley bus. And the trolley bus would turn the corner and the poles would come off the wires.
Yeah,
you
know? Put them back.
Put them back on again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the library will close.
Okay. Well, we've got to sell some books. Okay.
Okay. So we'll do another next one. Yeah. The Man in Blue. Oh, this is when we had a real railway station. And the Man in Blue knew everything about everybody and where they were going, and look at that board. Look at where we went, all over South Australia. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Look, trains up to Balhanna.
Yeah.
Mount Pleasant, yes, that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Bridgewater, no. We've lost a lot.
And his dad's standing with his kit bag.
Yeah. Oh,
yes. And she's got the little case. Fantastic.
And the men all wearing hats, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, we could go on, we could talk all night.
Oh, one more. Last one. Ethelton Primary School, which is no longer there. And that was sent to me by one of my posters. And all the kids having their milk at recess time. And who remembers the sour milk?
Oh.
How did we survive?
Now we call it yogurt, and it's good for us.
Yeah, so that's a good one to finish on.
I think, Bob, thank you. Look, this filled in gaps for me in my knowledge of Adelaide. I think it's going to bring vast numbers of memories. And the other thing is, you can buy it for your grandchildren and say, "When I was a kid, we had to build our own billy cart."
That's right. Yeah.
Go down the tip. You know, get up at 4 in the morning.
Bloody luxury, that.
Oh, no. And if you tell young people nowadays, they never believe you.
No, that's right.
Bob, it's a joy finally to meet you. Thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
Oh.